What would you do if you got an invitation from somebody that was very important to come and to have a meal with that person? Let's just suppose that that individual is a powerful person, maybe a famous individual, maybe a high-ranking political leader, and you get an invitation to come and to have a meal with that person. Would you turn it down? Would you gladly accept it? Would you just ignore it? Or would you make excuses about why you couldn't be there? Well, Jesus uses a story like that to illustrate something about the kingdom of God, and that's the story that we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. We want to welcome each of you to the broadcast and hope that you can open up your Bible and follow along with us today because we're going to be looking at this great story that has so much meaning. Some of these excuses that Jesus mentions here that people offered then are very much like, and in some cases, exactly like the excuses that people give today. So let's get right into the story here today. Let's read our text, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Here the Bible says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him had heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." I think it's very important to point out again here, folks, where this is taking place. What is the setting? Jesus is in the house of this Pharisee. He's eating with these Jews, several of them evidently Jewish leaders or at least people who are influential in the Jewish nation, and Jesus here is eating with these people. So one of them, after he's heard Jesus teaching about several items, says, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." This man said that it was a great honor to be in the kingdom. Now, of course, what you have to remember about these Jews at this time is that their concept of the kingdom was that the kingdom was going to be a political empire. It was going to be a political government system. And so this man is eating with Jesus, and he said, "The one that is going to be in the kingdom of God with you is going to be greatly honored." And let me ask right here concerning that. Are people anxious to be in his kingdom today? Is that how people see the church? In verse 15, this man says that anybody that eats bread in the kingdom of God is going to be blessed. Now, he's not talking about the Lord's Supper there. That's something that has not been instituted at this time. He's simply talking from his standpoint, from his limited understanding about the kingdom. He's just saying that if you're going to be in the kingdom, of which Jesus is the founder and the head, then you're going to be greatly privileged. You're going to be greatly blessed. My question is, we today know what the kingdom is. We understand more about the kingdom than this man did because we have the New Testament to read. But do people look at the kingdom in that way today? Do people see it as a great honor to be able to be in the kingdom, to have that invitation, to have the privilege to be in the church, which is the kingdom? Do people see it like this man saw the kingdom from his standpoint? So many times they do not. And what Jesus is doing right here is saying this. This man says it will be an honor to be in the kingdom. Jesus said not everybody is going to look at it like that. Not everybody is going to see it that way. As a matter of fact, there are going to be some people who turn down the invitation and make all kinds of silly excuses about not being in it. So let's look at what he says. In verse 16, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many." The word bade means to invite. So this man prepares a great meal, and he invites all these people to come, and the Bible says he invites many people to come to it. And then in verse 17, the Bible says he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden or invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now it's obvious here, folks, what he's illustrating. It's clear that what Jesus is talking about here is how that God has set up his kingdom. He has prepared a meal in a figurative way of speaking. God has sent his son to die for the sins of mankind. He has established his church. The price for man's sins has been paid. The plan of salvation has been delivered. The Bible has been given to us. All that is really a part of what's being talked about here. That is what the point is. That is what is being illustrated here in this parable. And the servant going out obviously represents the fact that the word went out, and the word is still going out for people to come into this kingdom, for people to partake of the benefit of this blessing. Now you see, this man that we're talking about here in this illustration is not a king who says to his servant, you go out there and you get people and you tell them to come here and they're going to work for me. I can kind of see how that many people would resent that and make excuses about it. I can see how that many people would try to get out of that. But that's not what's going on here. You could understand it also if this man had been a political leader and he's drafting people into the military. And he's sending servants out there to say, you tell these people that they're going to go to war. They're going to fight. They're going to be in the battle whether they like it or not. They don't have a choice. This is a mandatory enlistment. But it's not that. This man is not trying to force anybody, and he's not doing something that is going to cost these people anything. He's not putting something on these people that is a burden. He's inviting them to come to enjoy something here and to have the benefit of. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be there, and that brings to light even more what they're going to say in response to this great invitation. The Bible says in verse 18, after they got the invitation, after they realized what a privilege it was going to be there. They're not going to be put out. They're not going to be burdened. They're not going to be forced into it. They're not going to have to pay anything to get into it. They're not going to have to bring any food. All they have to do is to come in and enjoy and to reap this great harvest. This man is extending a favor to these people. But the Bible says in verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. They made excuses about why they couldn't come. Now, before we look at those excuses, and they're all ridiculous excuses, I want you to notice here that these people don't send word back to this man and say, well, you know what? I don't like you, and I don't like your family, and we don't want to come because we don't want to be with you. They didn't do that. They didn't say anything like that. They didn't say, we can't afford to come. We're going to have to travel, and we don't have the money to come and to be there with you. We'd like to, but we just can't afford it. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't the problem. They didn't send word back to this man and say, we can't come because we've got sickness in the family. We've got a family member that is just at the point of death, and we've been sitting with him. We've been taking care of that individual, and we would love to come and be with you, but we just cannot do that. We have some obligations here, and I'm sure that you'll understand. It was nothing like that. What we find is that they offered some of the flimsiest excuses that anybody could imagine. In verse 18, the Bible says, the first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So this man is saying, I can't come because I just bought some land. And he said, I need to go see it. Well, is he actually saying that he didn't see that land before he bought it? That he would actually pay money for a piece of land without even looking at it? Is that what he's trying to say? If so, that is absolutely ridiculous. Because these Jews were careful about their money. And they were not about to pay for something without even looking into what it was. So obviously here, if this man is saying that he had never even seen this land, but he paid some money for it, we have no reason to believe anything that he's saying about that. He's just trying to think up some excuse. Well, on the other hand, if he's already seen the land and then he bought it, why is he having to go see about it now? Why is he having to go and look at that land? And folks, when you fit this together with the situation here, it shows again how ridiculous these excuses are. How long is it going to take these people that are invited to come and to be at this supper? It's not like the supper is going to last for weeks. It's not like he's going to have to quit working for a month and not be able to tend to his land and to his responsibilities and to his work. This is a supper. It's a one-time thing. And it's not going to really burden anybody to be there, and nobody's going to have to give up his job in order to come to this supper. So this man says, I bought a piece of land, and I must needs go see about it. I have to see about the land that I have just bought. The second one had an excuse, and it was not much better. The Bible says in verse 19, "And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Of course, the word prove there means to test. So this man says, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen." Oxen in those days were used to plow with and to work the fields. And so they were very important to these people. They were like tractors are to us today. So this man says, "I bought these oxen and I have to go and test them out to see if they're going to pull, to see if they're going to work like they need to." Now again, folks, we look at this situation here and we ask the question, didn't you test them out? Didn't you see what kind of oxen you were buying before you actually paid money for them? That's like somebody buying a car and he doesn't know anything about it. Who does that? I don't think that these Jews would do something like that. And it appears again that this man is just trying to offer some kind of an excuse. It would be ridiculous for a man that is a farmer to put money into 5 yoke of oxen when he didn't even know whether the money that he was going to give for them was really worth it. So it appears again that this man is just trying to make an excuse because he doesn't want to go, and he has to try to come up with some kind of alibi or some kind of an excuse that he thinks this man is going to listen to. Then the Bible says in verse 20, "And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Maybe that is the most flimsy of all these excuses. Why on earth is that going to hinder this man? How is that going to keep you from coming to the supper? You've married a wife? All right, it's a very clear thing as to what you should do. You just need to bring your wife with you. But instead of bringing his wife with him, he simply says, "Well, I've married a wife, I have a wife, and I cannot come." Well, he could have come. That was not true. He could have come if he had wanted to come. And friends, what does all this illustrate? What is all this about? It's not just about a supper back there somewhere in the first century. This illustrates salvation. It illustrates the kingdom of God. It illustrates the church. And what it shows is that people will make all kinds of excuses. People will use their land or their tractor or their car or their marriage or anything else to say, "That's why I don't become a Christian. That's why I can't come to church." And tomorrow, we're going to look at these excuses even more, and we're going to find out how the man that invited these people felt about their rejection and felt about their excuses. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.